Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of Christian Science. We are so glad you could join us today and glad you joined us on Christmas Eve as well. We are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent, in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we welcome you all. And we'll start, Florence, with our prayer.
I'm reading from the Blue Book, page 275. May each day unfold to you the manifold treasures of Christian Science, and may you become the rich partakers thereof. Remember that the power to heal is gained through peace, wisdom, love, dominion over self, and goodwill toward men. You possess these graces of spirit, or Christ's power, only by loving God good supremely. After this cometh the recognition of but one mind, which enables you to know that there is no power or presence that can resist good or prevent your prayers being effectual. While you remain in this attitude of mind, you are obedient to the principle of your being and not can hinder your healing the sick and the sinner. Mary Baker Eddy.
Wonderful, thank you. 275 of the Blue Book, right?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Karen, please.
Watch number 351. Watch that your devotion to Christian Science for what it can do for you is gradually superseded by a love for it of itself, for what it really is, and for what it enables you to do for others. Once Mrs. Eddy wrote to a member of the board of directors, quote, "Persevere, and if the fire burns low, or appears to be getting extinguished, replenish it with faith and love. Never lose its light on the altar of Christian Science, and never cease to watch, work, pray." End quote. When your fire seems to burn low, when your enthusiasm diminishes because the benefits from science cease to thrill, or perhaps are delayed, the ashes can be rekindled by claiming a love for Christian Science for its own sake, for what it is, the way of salvation for mankind, and by an effort to share its blessings with the needy world. One never experiences the highest satisfaction in science through a selfish application of its truth. Furthermore, any lack of love for science is merely the effect of a false argument, and is never a fact. In reality, it is our privilege to rejoice daily in the unfoldments which come to us from God and in the opportunity each day offers to share these blessings with others.
Beautiful, thank you. All right, comments.
Well, I know I've said this before, but it wasn't until I came to Plainfield that I really understood that I really had more of a selfish application of it. I mean, well, compared to here, it definitely did. and so I'm just grateful that God led me to Plainfield, where I really got the true sense of what we as Christian Scientists are here to do. And we are to work for mankind and to bless others. That's why we're Christian Scientists. And I'm very grateful to have come here and learned to be more unselfed in my application of Christian Science.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and I feel exactly the same way. I'm so grateful to Plainfield for all of the instruction in this, because I too grew up in Christian Science, but never thinking really much about the world as we should be. And I love the word enthusiasm, and to know that that's a quality of God. So it has to be in the right direction, and it is in the right direction, and we have to see it that way. And so then we have enthusiasm for, you know, knowing it for the world instead of thinking selfishly about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think many of us originally, you know, when we first find Christian Science, you know, it satisfies some selfish motives, maybe, perhaps, at first. But that's something that we have to grow out of, isn't it? And I think we can all, those of us here who have been here for a while, can thank Mrs. Evans for blasting the selfishness out of us, if you will. And, you know, some people didn't take it and they left. Others took it and grew and stayed. And that is what we find today, I think, in the Plainfield Church.
I think Mrs. Eddie has.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mrs. Eddie herself, reading all that she has written and others have written from her, she talks a lot about the universe, mankind, you know, a needy world, as this says here, salvation of mankind. It's a selfless journey, and she lived it to prove to us what we must do. It's so beautiful, I feel, that when, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't feel inspired at all, or I need some inspiration. I think when we start to think of others or work for others, that comes back. That's been my experience anyway.
Thank you. What is it? Love inspires, lumens.
Designates and leads the way,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember Mrs. Evans telling us that thus means God in the word enthusiasm.
Yes. So thank you. That word enthusiasm, I don't have it to hand, but it's a beautiful definition. God inspired. Mm-hmm. And anything good that's ever been done has been done with enthusiasm. It's a godlike quality. You can't just be ho-hum about it. You have to keep, as the Watching Point says, your fire's burning and enthusiastic. And when you do find this truth of truths, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on around you, how awful everything might seem to be. When you get up in the morning because you have this work to do for God, it just lifts you up. It's truly like you're in a tossing sea and you've got this great big life preserver. It's incredible that we are to daily handle the aggressive mental suggestions, aren't we? And that's what it always is. It's always aggressive. It comes to you tailor-made. This is your problem. This is terrible. You'll never get out of it. Whatever else comes tailor-made, the argument, to get you to forget or to neglect your duty to God, to your leader, and to mankind. It is just that simple. You keep it simple, you'll be all right. But when you think it's your thinking, you're sinking, as your healing or whatever you're looking for is delayed, or it's not coming, or it's not coming in the way you wanted it to come, well, then that's just going to take you out in those tossing waves till you stop it and get on your life preserver of knowing God and loving Him supremely.
I think sometimes when it seems like nothing is going on, there is a lot going on. Principle is always active, you know. And I find that, you know, it may take a long time for you to see what you want, but all the time something has been working.
Thank you. That's important, because truth is always pushing itself on us. It is. It's pushing itself on us. Some people listen. Some people are open to the truth. A lot of people are closed to it and don't seem to be, you know, thinking that much is going on. But the truth is always pushing itself. Like the hymn says, the truth is marching on.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is open our hearts and be receptive.
Don't be like the Pharisees that watch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love in the watching point, it says, any lack of love for the science is merely the effect of false argument and is never fact. In reality, it is our privilege to rejoice daily in the unfoldments which come to us from God and in the opportunity each day offers to share these blessings with others. Because believe me, if you think all the time, you know, maybe we feel like doing this all the time. Well, sometimes it's good to have a refreshment, a change of view or whatever. Sometimes that's very, very important, those times of refreshment. But sometimes there's this false argument. Oh, you don't want to do it. You don't like to do it. It's too much work. It's this. It's that. And we all get it. Okay, we get it. But it's an effect of a false argument. It's not true. And once you start doing whatever you think you don't want to do, you'll find yourself uplifted. If it's something for God.
It might even be more subtle, like, oh, I need to be over there doing that.
Yes.
Then I'll have time to go back.
Yeah.
It might look more positive.
Yeah.
While you wait.
What is that a statement about? There's not two bright places for you. There's only.
Oh, yeah. Duty never points in two directions.
Yeah. Duty never points in two directions. There's only one. So, and you know, in thinking, because I was thinking about it. Normally, maybe I don't think about it, but, you know, the typical New Year's resolutions. Well, what are some things you do want to accomplish this year? It's good to have some goals. Certainly one, for everyone here listening, to become a better healer. It's the most important work there is in Christian Science. And Florence, in her prayer, just read from the Blue Book what that requires. And it is in our textbook. And if anything tells you you can't or you don't want to, again, that's a false argument. It's not true. Of course you want to. Of course you want to bless the world. And whoever you are and whatever you're doing and whatever your walk of life is, you can learn to heal better, to love more, to bless the world. And it's the greatest privilege there ever could be. So make sure that's a priority on your list of things to do this year.
Yeah.
This is Eddie Sanders. Go ahead.
No, one of the things I learned listening to the tapes from Plainfield was when Mrs. Evans said something about if something is coming to you, whatever is coming to you, if it's not good, it's not from God. So you shut it up. If it's not good, it's not from God. That's been very helpful for me.
Yeah. And be instant in it. Don't dilly-dally. Don't think it has anything good to say. You give it an inch, and it takes a mile. Just slam the door shut. But then you have to replace it with the enduring, the good, and the true. You can't just be a void. You've got to start thinking good things and happy things. It's definitely in the short article in Miscellany, What Our Leader Says, right? Fill your thoughts with such good that error doesn't have a chance to enter therein. And if you do that, you will be blessed, and all those that you love will be blessed. It's a mighty power. So, thank you.
Sometimes I wonder, it just came up at since Christian Science has been around for over 150 years, why aren't we further along in the healing? Why did the healing stop or, you know, slow down to such a degree since Mrs. Eddy left? And it was because of this. It was they got more selfish. We all know that they didn't, were not obedient. Boston was not obedient to our leader and the manual. But that was because of self and forgetting what Christian Science was here to do, was to bless all mankind. And when you start thinking inward and having your own power and everything, that completely takes the desire to work for the world out of it. And so we really, this is reading this biography of Doris Greckel, over and over again, Mrs. Eddy says, it's only healing that's going to keep Christian Science going. And, but, you know, it's, and those of us who have said, well, you know, we didn't get this in our branch churches. Well, because we were a reflection of Boston for the most part. So it's, anyway.
Thank you. No, and I am all prepared to talk about that. that was on my list of things to talk about. Exactly that. I had sent, a couple of people sent me some things to that. And it's always the big question. Well, first of all, I will say there is healing going on. There is. All you have to do is look at Linda. Each week she has a whole list of testimonies she posts because of all of you telling of your healings.
I can't keep up with it.
It's going on. And sometimes it just happens so naturally, because that's what Mrs. Eddy says, doesn't she? Naturally. It's going to naturally happen. People don't even realize they've had the healing. It just comes quietly, naturally. There's not trumpets blowing. Oh, my God, I had a healing. It all of a sudden you're feeling better, or whatever was bothering you is gone, or that thing on your face is gone, or whatever it is your problem is. So it's happening. And also it is happening with people who don't call themselves Christian Scientists. They just practice the basic truths of the Bible and they have healing. It is going on. It is going on. Don't ever let Aerith fool you into that. But I understand your question. So Linda from Nevada, one of our friends, she sent me this by Ann Beals. I have been told that healing was much easier in the early days of the Christian Science movement than it is today. This is probably because the practitioner had greater success in reaching his patient. Life was simple then. Faith was much stronger. People were not embroiled in so much worldliness. Their minds were not polluted with so much concentrated materialistic propaganda. Today, the mind can be so mesmerized with materialism, negative emotions, or the Antichrist that it is constantly producing sickness, disease, depression, disturbed emotions, and mental illness. If you absorb all of the aggressive mental suggestions being poured forth in the media, the schools, and the world, then when you turn to Christian Science to meet a problem, you do not find any inspiration or light within. When you do not find healing, it is usually because the mind is dark, opaque, and uninspired. There must be a great commitment to understanding Christian Science in order to be assured of healing. It is the neglect of the spiritual light within that causes failure. And then, and this was a major thing that we were always taught in our inner church when we would study on page 365 in Science and Health. If the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing work will be accomplished at one visit, and the disease will vanish into its native nothingness like dew before the morning sunshine. And the main word in that sentence, does anyone know what it is?
If you reach the thought.
Reaches. Florence and I have talked about how some people get healed so quickly and others don't. Well, Ann Beals just described the state of thought. And maybe you read and you try and you do this and do that, but underneath all that going on, there's a lot of other stuff going on. And it has to be rooted out and healed. And that doesn't always happen overnight. So as my father would say, quit your belly aching, okay? And just keep at it.
Especially if you've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, well, sometimes
it doesn't happen overnight. Wow, you glean such wonderful lessons all the way.
Right. Here we go again. Yes. And if you're so focused on this one healing you've got to have, you don't notice all the wonderful things God is doing in your life. And as we have talked about often, joy and gratitude are two essential ingredients to any healing. People say, well, I'll be joyful and grateful after I've had my healing. No, No. Now. You do it now. Whether you've had your healing or not, whether you never have your healing or not, you express the joy and the gratitude that are divinely yours because they're divine qualities. But you gotta rev up your engine. Rev your engine up. This is what it's saying. Your spiritual light is gone. Got to get it back.
And we can thank for being the best example of this, or our first example of this. Before any healing, what did he do?
He gave thanks.
He thanked God. He was in a state of extreme gratitude before the healing.
But I think that also demonstrates,
go ahead.
No, I think it shows that he knows, he understands principle is operating no matter what I see. No, so he knows, he thanked God already.
Yes, yeah, I was just reading recently, probably with Science and Health, the battle between the physical senses and your spiritual sense, you know, what we physical senses are telling you, which might not always look so great.
Yeah, because if you're not thanking God before the healing, then that means that you have doubt as to whether you really could be healed or will be healed. If you're not really grateful, you're doubting. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. No, seriously, we have to be in a receptive state of consciousness to receive God. That's what it means to love God.
And you certainly see it in the healings with Jesus over and over. What's your faith? It'll be unto you as you believe, or what your faith is. Over and over he says that. Doesn't he? Yeah. And remember how he praised the centurion servant, remember in the chosen, oh my gosh, I've never seen such faith. And here all his disciples are looking very sheep-faced, right? The centurion has all this faith. You don't even have to come to my house. And I know you'll take care of the situation, which is in the lesson this week. So it's a big part of it. And if you have these, it's like, well, peeling the onion peels or whatever, you know, if you have all these barriers in thought, the light can't reach you till those barriers are broken down. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it doesn't, but whatever, don't complain, because that doesn't help. That makes it worse. It shows that you're only in it for the loaves and fishes, okay?
And can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say that we were talking about false arguments, and you know, a lot of what is in that reading, I really feel is to tell us about false arguments, because that is already a false argument that there's no healing. That is completely false. There's healing not only all the time, but also great healings and instant healings and all kinds of healings, just like before. That it starts, you know, it's kind of unreal, or animal magnetism, starting with its false argument already by wanting us to believe that there is no healing or less healing or anything like that. That's what I call.
Thank you, Ingrid. It's so true. That's the beginning, the little foxes. There is healing. Open your eyes. Behold. And I always think of that story with Moses and, now what was it, the story about Jesus? Oh, and who was it? Well, he said, if you didn't believe Moses, why are you going to believe me? They wanted more healing. Give us signs. Give us signs. How many signs do we have to have? How many times? What is it going to take? If you're in that state of mind, no matter what, you're not going to believe, and you think there's no healing because you're just in the wrong thought. You're in the mortal mind who doesn't see the good. But along this discussion, I got this from our friend in Costa Rica today, originally Holland. But he says, in the chapter 8 on healing the sick from Science and Health, 1875, Mrs. Eddy explains a lot about mesmeric manipulation. Then I begin to understand that humanity at present suffers from aggressive mental manipulation through the belief of material existence and its accompanying medical science. We all have been manipulated through the physical senses. I presume that was why they had much more healings in the early years of Christian Science than they seem to have at present. The aggressive manipulation of the material beliefs make it very hard. very hard for truth to penetrate and overcome. Same thing the Watching Point was saying. In the old days, there was not that complete and blind confidence in materia medica. As this so-called science was then rather impotent to heal, and there was generally more faith in God. Nowadays, people scorn the belief in a God or the practice of spiritual healing. The virtual reality of a material universe has become the reality. So, human thinking is in this present period strongly manipulated by the era of material beliefs. I wonder to what degree my consciousness has been manipulated to feel confidence in the medical treatment. And then he goes on to say how he was healed of something with medical care. So this is a good point, I think, for this, because materia medica has gotten so huge. And if you do go to materia medica and think you've had any kind of a healing, what should you do?
It was God.
Deny the belief that there is any power that would separate you from God. There is no other power.
There's no other power. And how many doctors have said, you know, this would be impossible. I don't know how this was healed. Many cases were given up by the materia medica. Christian Science has healed them. So, but you must be very careful in that if you do this and then you think, oh, what a wonderful healing I had through materia medica. This is why, and I think it's the main reason why Mrs. Eddy didn't want you to mix materia medica with Christian Science or prayer, because materia medica always seems to get the credit for it.
Yes.
Well, you know what I say to that? The hell you say?
You know, a good doctor, well, and I've heard it over and over again from people, they know it's God working.
Yes.
They know it.
Yes.
And many of them pray with their patients.
Yes. Thank you. And that is why Mrs. Eddy says, if you go to a doctor, make sure he is what?
Christian Scientist.
A Christian Scientist. She says, make sure he's a Christian Scientist. That is in Science and Health. So what does that mean? You go to a godly one, like Chardell just mentioned. And again, the quote that Florence found many years ago about it, if materia medica ever gets so big that healing and Christian Science seems impossible, it's not in the building up of churches, but it's getting the textbook out. Get the textbook out, the textbook, the leaven of truth, it will do the healing work. That's what we're doing in this church. And that is what you better be doing individually. You keep that textbook in your in your lap and study it and read it and think about it and ponder it and look up definitions and get more and more into it every day. Someone told me recently, well, I've read Science and Health. Well, yeah. Okay. What did Jim Dibble say? He read it 72 times or something?
Yes.
Wow. Beautiful.
You can't get enough of it. And it will grow as you grow. It is the word of God. And it's speaking to you.
Eustace, in his Clear and Collect teaching book, he's talking about Jesus and Mrs. Eddy and their missions, but in it he refers to Science and Health as Emmanuel, God with you. And I just think that's the most beautiful thing. And so when you hold the book and read it, it's God with you.
It is.
Well, it is the comforter that Jesus
promised. That's right,
promised.
The comforter, of course.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I would also like, I always go back to this, I love it so much, in Martha Wilcox, because it kind of debunks, okay, we're in this very material world. Well,
who says?
Yeah, who says is right. And on one side, there will be discord and dismay. And on the other side, there will be science and peace. Take your pick, okay? But in Martha Wilcox, The Power of a Right Idea, history tells us that the world of Mary's day was drowning in foully materialistic thinking. Rome, the most important city, had set up the worship of the emperor, the adoration of human personality as her religion. In the province of Galilee, where Mary lived, there were many established religions and political parties, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and the lawyers, and the revolutionists, all waiting the hour to strike Rome. The conception held by these groups concerning the deliverance of Israel was wholly a material conception. What remained of the morality and spirituality of the Israelites was, at this time, found only among the common people. And sacred history tells us that in this province of Galilee and among the common people was a little group of metaphysical thinkers. Right in the midst of this dense materialistic thinking of the upper class was this little group, this remnant of Israel, who practiced pure and undefiled religion. They taught and practiced the most beautiful moral precepts. In fact, they were full of light in that black night of materialism. Many of the best literary productions nearest the advent of Jesus were written in Galilee by these religious thinkers. This little remnant of Israel was undiscouraged for Israel's deliverance. Their faith in God was unshaken by the blood ravages of Rome. They worshiped the true God. Of all the religions of that day, none approached the Hebrew religion in purity of doctrine or cleanness of life, as was shown forth by this little group of metaphysicians. There we are.
So if you think that today is more materialistic than it was then, that's just a bad excuse.
And that's how it comes, excuses to get you to think this, that, or the next thing.
So where can you go to read about all the healings that are taking place today?
Christian Science, the Plainfield website.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't read it in Harper's Magazine or Wall Street Journal.
And there are other publications that have also many, many healings that are the same Christian Signs that heal in this website, right? It's the same Christian
Signs. Many healings that take place. But I must say, you know, if you study retrospection and introspection, and Mrs. Eddy has that chapter on faith cure, Christian Science is really, when it's done properly, is the only place I know that where there's a real, true healing, as was practiced in Jesus' time. When it's done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's Lawrence.
Because you don't just heal in Christian Science. It's not just, you know, the wound is healed or anything like that. There is also a moral regeneration going on. You come out of it knowing God more, loving Him more. That does not happen, not in ordinary, you know, faith healing or anything like that.
Yes. And one good way to measure when someone has truly been healed, do you know what that is? And like the one leper, they came back to give thanks and to find out how it was they were healed. And they are so grateful, and so they want to give back. So when I do see it, I see people in our church who come, had healings and left, or who despaired because they didn't have a healing and left. But then there are those, and these are the true disciples of Christ, the true metaphysicians. When they are healed, they never forget it. Even if it was some small, so-called small thing, And they are dedicated to this science. They are dedicated to giving back, and nothing takes them off. Nothing. It's a sign of true healing. It goes back to the watching point where, you know, you have to give back. This truth is so amazing.
Like, that's like the parable of the sower, right?
Yeah, the good soil.
The seed of the sower, exactly what you just said. How beautiful.
And it doesn't matter how many, you know, it's the quality of the small group of physicians. I was reading in my study of the Bible this week about David, who he was counting how many soldiers were in different armies or something, and then he realized he had to repent because God didn't want him counting, which I found an interesting story. And it was because God owned it all, and why was he counting? It didn't matter. And so again, it's the quality of what we have, not quantity. And what one wise man saved the city, Ecclesiastes, only took one. Look what Mrs. Eddy did. Look at all the things that didn't seem to work out in her life. And she never gave up.
And one with God is a majority.
Yes. So never look around and think about, oh, they're not doing it, or he's not doing it. What are you doing? Just, again, from a labouche, what are you doing? Do it. You do it. Don't be wondering. And if you want more healings in Christian Science, then let's have some more healings.
Go do it.
Go do it. See what it takes.
Expect it.
Well, yes.
And Mary, you were talking earlier about the physical senses and how they lie to us. And my mother often marvels at the fact that the earth is spinning around. And yet we wouldn't know it, would we? We're, you know, according to the physical senses, all that, it's a good reminder of that they are lying to us and, you know, not presenting a true picture. And so we ought to have that perfect picture in our head, no matter what anything else says to us, and no matter what the voices in your head say, that's not your voice if it's not good. So it's just these wonderful things we learn in Christian Science. So grateful for all that.
Yes. And Martha Wilcox's article, The Word Made Flesh, deals with that too, the illusions of the material senses, how things seem to be going on and they're not. It's very deceptive. And magic.
And the fear.
Tell you. What say?
No, and the fear, which is behind every lie that comes.
It's always
fear.
It's
not the real fear. Yeah.
Always fear. And remember, if you're fearing, you're not loving. They can't exist together. Also, you can't be grateful and be depressed. It's impossible. You're either one or the other. So that's why we claim who and what we are as a child of God. And to claim it no matter what era is screaming at you. I'll have you read the golden text, Jeremy.
Deuteronomy, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
Thank you. And it's very interesting, and Bruce, who wrote this lesson, which is very beautifully done, you know, he said, this golden text, what book of the Bible was it written?
Deuteronomy.
Yeah,
and who wrote it?
Moses.
Yeah, yes.
Moses.
Talk about prophecy. He knew.
He knew Jesus was coming, and he rejoiced to see his day. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Jesus told us?
And then, in the thank you. In the responsive reading, it mentions that, yes, the great light, the light that dispels false beliefs, and also the government, which is very important today, knowing the government in an article that Carrie sent by Albert Gilmore, The Government Upon His Shoulder. Carrie writes this, but it's a quote, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Shoulder represents the seat of government, the righteous rule of his universe. The government is not upon man's shoulders, but it is upon God's shoulders, the righteous rule of his universe. How is God's government made manifest? By gaining an understanding of spiritual creation of God as the divine creator of all that exists, and of the universe of spiritual ideas, including man, created by divine mandate and governed by unchanging divine will." And the article begins by saying the ancient concept of government, and today too, you know, is Atlas. Atlas became the synonym of a burden bearer, or putting one shoulder to the wheel. You know, it's all like a burden. But in this, in science, the government is on his shoulders. And the only way for true government is in the expression of Christ Jesus's precepts and Moses, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount. And
it's all the government we need.
It is. If everyone obeyed those, we wouldn't have to have this so-called huge big government. We wouldn't need it. We'd all be living in harmony together, supplying each other's needs.
And in this case, the government refers to the laws that govern the universe, including man, right? And the, yeah. If there are laws that govern the universe and govern man, isn't that what science is supposed to be? Isn't that the true science? Which mm-hmm. is why Mrs. Eddy, of course, attached the word science to Christianity. Because it is infallible law. Albert Einstein referred to it as the ultimate science. He was no dummy.
And the United States of America, we were founded on Christian principles. Absolutely without a doubt. Absolutely. I have studied this thoroughly because people say different things now. It was founded on Christian principles. The Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, it was unwavering, unvarying. And everyone needs to know this, know our history and understand this, because the Founding Fathers also said, if we lose our Christianity, we will lose our freedom and everything else that goes with it. The enlightened, any country that is enlightened in this world of ours has Christianity as a basis. This is not my opinion. This is a fact. And we had a beautiful calendar statement this week, Mary Baker Eddy. "For us to do the unceasing prayer that the Christ may be born in every heart is going out from this place daily." Think about it. Mrs. Eddy's home. Every day she was knowing that the Christ may be born in every heart. When the Founding Fathers founded America on Christianity, they were asked, well, what will happen when other religions come into our country and all of this kind of thing? Do you know what their answer was? It was Christianity is so wonderful, so fabulous, that everyone will become Christians, so we don't have to worry about that. But you see, if we lose the science, if we lose the enthusiasm, if we lose and get just ho-hum about everything, yes, then other things seem to come in and we're living in Babylon. So remember to do this every day, to know that the Christ may be born in every heart. Because the only converting that's going to go on is Christianity, true Christian science. We're not going to allow for any other converting. Why should we? Why would we? Again, this is not my opinion. I'm not giving opinions. These are truths.
This is this is spiritual progress for humanity. And progress is a law of God. So we're not going to fight progress. We're going to accept it. And that is God's progress. And it is proven in the position that the United States of America holds in the world. It is a light. People around the world crave what is going on, what the United States of America represents. And it's Christianity.
It's ideal. Yes, it's Christianity.
They crave that ideal. They crave that freedom. And we should respect it and honor it and protect it.
And work as we know how to do, because it is only Christ's Christianity that will save and heal the world. Otherwise, there's all this arguing about this and that and who's this and why that. And it's just, yes, it's Christ's Christianity. It truly is. What else can do it? And we do know that many people in prisons and elsewhere, or people who have what they think is religion, which is really a political system, they have dreams where Christ comes to them and converts them. Mm-hmm. The true Christ. You've seen that, right? Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yes.
Yes. So let us, as far as I'm concerned, we should try to represent Mrs. Eddy's household as much as we can. That's why the reading of the Carpenter books is so important. How she lived her life, how she did the watches all through the day and through the night. This, what happened daily in her home. Any little bit of pieces we can find, incorporate in your own life, in your own home, and then it will magnify. This is such important work. All right, I'd like Nancy now to read. She did a... found something very beautiful. It's the same thing, actually, that Chardell found. Go ahead, Nancy. Oh.
Hi. Yes. I found from William McCracken a lecture that he wrote about the promised comforter. And he writes, "To those looking with hope and faith for better things, Christian Science comes as the comforter promised by the Master. It shows that the right ideals, which we have cherished and nourished, are not idle dreams, but realities of God's creation, that the ideal man is God's man now, that the kingdom of God is at hand. It answers the cry of mankind for deliverance from its woes. It assures us that no sorrow is too deep, no sin too persistent, no sickness too severe, no question too perplexing, and no burden too heavy for the saving grace of spiritual understanding. It teaches us to know God in whom we live and move and have our being. It corrects the false concept of God as the supposed source of evil. It shows that evil has no real origin, permanency, and power, and thus once and for all, removes the sting of fear from our existence. No more comforting statement was ever made than this from the scriptures. Quote, perfect love casteth out fear, end quote. Fear seems to be a component part of almost every case of sin, sickness, or crime. Banish fear, and a great percentage of all human woe would disappear. Christian Science is showing the way to do this. It is proving the correctness of its teachings by its works. It is going to those who are considered hopeless victims of bad habits and striking off their shackles. It is going to the bedside of those who have been declared incurable, because there is nothing in the whole range of material remedies which could reach their cases, and is making them well and strong again. It is going to families once disrupted by vice and misunderstanding, and is establishing peace and mutual respect. To all those who are in need of any sort, whether harassed and haunted by pain or heartache or fear for the future, Christian Science says with infinite compassion, with absolute certainty. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven, the assurance of perfect safety and protection, the possession and enjoyment of holiness, happiness, and health.
So beautiful.
I thought that was beautiful.
It is just beautiful. This is what Christian Science does for the whole world. Who would not want this? Who would not want it? That's why we can be so assured. And as the Watch said last night from Mrs. Eddy, the world is ready. No, every day, the world is ready for Christian Science. Just briefly, in another really a good article Carrie sent called Christmas and Its Message, it brings out the point in that beautiful statement in Matthew, the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and glorifying him. Then peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the article points out that the first part is often neglected. It's always peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the first part, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and glorifying him. That's really very important. And then she likes it to the commandments where you know, first you have the one God, loving God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and then your neighbor as yourself. So it actually follows quite beautifully. And I thought that was a really good point. So let's not forget that first part. There's great power in praising God. Okay, now we're going to end with another beautiful article by, that Carrie sent.
This is from Rays from Christmastide by F.E. Mason. This is an excerpt from the 1888 issue of the journal. Long, long ago, there was witnessed at dead of night a sight in the heavens more wonderful than had ever before been witnessed by human eye. No astronomer, however well versed in his science, has ever hinted at the cause of this strange phenomenon. Though it filled those who saw it with awe and terror, so that they were sore afraid, it was not a warning of impending evil, but brought such a promise of peace and joy as never before was whispered in human ears. The phenomenon referred to was the Star of Bethlehem, which blazed out through the dark night of old, bathing a world of woe in a hallowed light never before seen by mortals. Shining in the east, from whence cometh the light, it led mankind to the manger, where, cradled in human humble obscurity, lay our Master, the Prince of Peace. The wise men from the Far East were not the only ones who had supernatural warning of the advent of a new dispensation in the birth of this wonderful child, Jesus. We read in the simple gospel narrative, there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It did not come in confusion or discord. It came in the midnight hour, when the world was asleep in material darkness, and none but shepherds were awake. It came in heavenly harmony, and was heard only by those whose minds were receptive to the heavenly chorus. The air was stirred with that wondrous song as a multitude of the heavenly hosts swept down from the skies to bless the earth with glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward man. This message has been sounding ever since. Nay, this message had been sounding from all eternity. Only the ears of men were dulled, and it remained for Jesus to remove their deafness, that they might hear the Christmas chorus of peace and goodwill. Let us all turn our thoughts heavenward, then God will send his angels to us, and they will bear us upward to the dwelling place of the Most High. Birds never light on fluttering or moving objects. So is it with truth. Truth can find no resting place in vacillating minds. Let us walk with single-eyed devotedness, reflecting so much of God's glory that we may point with the finger of assurance to the true and only star, which will not only guide us, but lead others to the place where they can discern the living Christ, the risen and immortal Jesus.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.